Tell me, lollygaggers. Another week on tap here at Lollygagging Sports. I am Bo Reed, as always, joined by Samantha Bunt and Matthew Irby. I don't know where that came from, Matthew. I'm sorry. Samantha, how you doing?
I'm good. Is Mario Rivera here?
Possibly.
I heard under Sandman, so I wonder.
I mean, frankly, I just felt like playing a little Metallica. And it's it's my favorite Metallica song, even though it's tied to a certain closer.
Yeah, that is unfortunate. You could take that from a student hearing. I also enjoy a little Metallica. I'm bummed that you guys, these two deadbeats, haven't looked at their Spotify rap yet, you guys. I wanted to try guessing what everybody's top stuff was, but, you know.
Is that what's going on social media right now? Because I keep seeing, like, listening ages popping up left and right.
Yeah, no, that's a new thing this year. It's going to tell your age based on the music that you like, which I think is super cool because I'm kind of all over the place with my music, so I'm very excited to see what it does with mine.
Interesting. I'm
excited about this.
The problem, though, is I never listen to music on Spotify. Like, ever. Like, my music is my library that I shuffle.
Yeah, see, that's okay. Yeah, that's right. I keep forgetting that you're like the only person on the planet that does not use Spotify because they're still using like the old style iTunes. So, yeah, I guess you can't do it. And Irby didn't look at it. So, anyway, this is very upsetting to me. I'm disappointed. Very disappointed. I love Spotify Rap because it makes everyone look insane. Everybody looks totally unhinged when you see what they've been listening to in their headphones all year. And I love it. So, anyway, send me your Spotify Rap, guys. Like, send it over to me on Twitter. I will look at and admire every single person's Spotify Rap.
And not judge you at all.
I will not judge you for it. I will probably praise you if you look super crazy based on what you're listening to, because I find the whole process delightful. So,
I like this. Anyway. So I get a few points, you know, a few weeks ago for downloading the new Taylor Swift album, but now I feel like I'm back to zero because I'm not big on Spotify. Like, I've lost my point. The points that I gained with the Taylor Swift album, I've lost them here.
Oh, yeah, no, that was, like, a good sign. I thought that you were moving forward to modern times musically, but you're right, now that you are moving backwards again now. So, we're going to have to, I don't know what the next thing is going to be, but slowly we will move you into the future.
All right. Irby, what do you think your listening age is going to be when you do your Spotify rap? Let's go that route.
Mm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Oh, definitely older than I am.
And okay, but I'm going to guess. Can I guess at what I think your number one artist is going to be? And then you have to tell me if I'm right later.
Yes.
Hans Zimmer.
Going with Hans. It probably will be. I've got quite a bit of John Williams in there too.
Another strong candidate for you. Yeah.
Yeah. So. And then because of workouts and stuff, I could see Linkin Park as the dark horse that got it done during workouts. But I think you're going to be right. It's probably going to be Hans just because of what he came out with the past year.
Yeah. And I wonder what your age would be too, because it's not basing it off Hans Zimmer's age. It's basing it on when the music came out. Right. So, like, my guess is yours is going to be fairly close to on target age wise. Yeah. Like, Bose is going to age him up a little bit because he loves 80s music, and we're a little too young for that, technically. So Bose is going to say he's 55, yes.
Probably.
Like, and also it's going to say, and I guarantee you, your top band, if you actually use Spotify, would be Motley Crue. So what do you think mine is?
Absolutely.
I already have mine, so I can tell you if you're right. What do you think mine is?
What was the question? Sorry, I missed that.
What do you think mine is? I can tell you, because, like, what do you think? What is my top band and what is my age based on what else it is?
Ooh. Okay. I'm going to say your age is right around our actual age. So 45.
Okay. So that's what I thought would happen, because I thought. Because I've listened to a lot of classic rock, but I also listen to a lot of stuff that's written by, like, 22-year-olds. That's right. What I thought would happen, is that it would all come out in the wash. But it was 32, so it skewed a little young. And I think it's because that's more of what I listened to this year, because I listened to so much, like, Sabrina Carpenter and Gracie Abrams and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, Taylor Swift, anything in that, like, you know, anybody who's like mid-30s to mid-40s is kind of a wash. So anyway, so that was that. Okay, what about top artists? What do you got for me?
Top artist.
I paid attention, so I'm going to go with the 1975.
That is correct.
Yes! I paid attention!
Very good.
I would like points added on to last week's exam, please.
You can get extra points for that. I will allow that.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. I don't know about that.
Listen, he had a tough time with those, but he acquitted himself well. I am willing to award extra credit points after the fact, as we do when a student takes initiative to try to improve their grade. So, yes, you may have an extra point for that. Absolutely, you can.
All right, congratulations, Irby. You're up to 3.5.
Yeah.
Hey, 350 batting average is an all-star.
See? Winning at baseball. Failing at life, but winning at baseball. 350 average. Like, I flunked out of college, but I'm winning at baseball. Oh, what a weird sport. I mean, that's... Good job, you guys. Good job.
Yeah.
Sort of. You got it. Kind of. See you later, buddies.
All right. Well, now that everyone's warmed up, I think we're ready for some rapid fire, Samantha. I don't know, Irby. What about you? Are you ready? It's always dicey.
All right. Sure. Let's do this.
Yeah, these are not hard, I don't think. They're mostly opinion-based. So, and there are a few that have right answers, but most of them do not have right answers. So, a little bit of baseball, a little bit of NFL, a little bit of nonsense. These guys are going to get 10 questions. They have no time to think about their answers, and they cannot elaborate on them. At the end, they will have the opportunity to go back and further explain one answer. So, shall we begin with baseball?
Sure, why not?
Okay, so a number of sort of short-term deals signed today, yesterday, really starting since last weekend. But the one that I am honing in on here for you guys is Ryan Helsley to the Orioles. Thoughts?
They're signing the wrong people. Right, like they're actually spending money on those they shouldn't spend money on, and not spending the money where they should, which is fantastic ownership, let me tell you.
Yeah, it also has a little bit of that. Like, here's a cheap thing we can sign so that we can say we went out and got something
going on.
Irby, any thoughts?
I get why with the Felix Bautista injury, like this is purely a replacement, a plug and play. It just that rarely works that way in baseball. We're like, oh, this guy's down. Let's go sign the next best thing that's similar to him.
Yeah.
So, I mean, points for yes, this is an area you needed to address. So good on that. I guess I'm going to go with, let's see how this goes.
Yeah, another thing is there was some insinuation that they were thinking about possibly turning him into a starter, which, like, what? He throws two pitches, guys. What? Okay, let's get even crazier. Devin Williams, the Mets.
Oh, my God.
Are you okay? Are you okay? Mets gonna Mets? Mets or Metsing?
This is like the biggest Mets thing ever.
Like, love Yankee garbage.
Yeah. I mean, and this is like true, honest to God garbage.
Yeah, no, legit garbage. Like, had, not one photo, folks.
Right, like, actually had one of the worst seasons a high leverage reliever can have. The only reason why he was even pitching in September is because Aaron Boone is Aaron Boone. Right?
Hey, we thought he had the yips. He was so bad.
Terrible.
And all we know, he might.
What are they thinking? That moving from the Bronx to Queens is suddenly going to fix him?
This is categorically insane.
It's incredibly insane.
Do you have any further comments?
What do we do if this works? If he's the comeback player of the year next year?
Quit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like then we have to look at the Yankees go, are y'all cursed? At that
point. I mean, that would be kind of funny. If that happens, I'm quitting.
I'm done talking sports. Just either like on the air or off the air, I'm just done talking sports at that point.
For real. Like, somebody clip this down and put it on awful announcing. I'm quitting. I'm not joking either. Horrendous. Okay. So we need to talk about the Dylan Cease thing again. I mean, we talked about this briefly because the news kind of broke while we were on air last week, but while we were recording, I should say. See, I'm still using the old, like, we're doing this live. But we need to talk about this because now we have contract details. So this is a $200 million contract. So I have some thoughts about this. Mm-hmm. You guys have some thoughts about this?
Well, I think it's pretty obvious why he signed so fast now. Right.
That would be one thing. Yeah.
Like this is absurd. I mean, this is something like the only way you justify this is if you're at the winter meetings and you're in a bidding war with three other teams, and this is just where mm-hmm. it got to. Right. To do this a week and a half before the winter meetings even start. Did they buy him at the eBay buy now price? Is that what this is?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Irby, thoughts?
The Blue Jays are all about winning getting a flag to fly forever. This is an all in with the $40 million over the luxury tax already with this deal.
Okay, but like
is it possible that the Blue Jays, after based off recent history, just threw that out there and then shit their pants because it was actually accepted when they weren't expecting it to be? Is that possible?
I mean, maybe, because everything you guys are saying makes sense. But the thing that's really standing out to me more than any of that is that this isn't going to solve your problem. Well, because what you needed was an ace.
Yeah.
And Dylan Cease has been very up and down. He's never really been an ace. I mean, he's durable. So there are teams out there who I think this would make sense for, like the people that need that workhorse, you know, that guy who's not going to spend half the year on the IL, who is a good quality starter. But like, I mean, his ERA was what, 4.5 last year? It's been 3.5. He's had good coaching at various points in his career, so I don't think we can blame that. I don't know that the Blue Jays are, you know, renowned for fixing pitchers either. So, I mean, yeah, okay, he's durable, but like, this was not what you needed. You can't just, like, this is looking a little messy. Like, let's just buy one everything and see what happens. Like, I don't think this is going to help you. I don't think this would have helped you beat the Dodgers.
No.
So, I don't know. All right, follow-up question to that then. Next one. Do you think this makes the Jays more or less likely to re-sign Bobichet?
Oof. You know, see, I don't think they were signing him anyway, but I don't think that this changes it in either direction.
Okay. Irby?
Less likely. I think this was the big contract. They'll do some other stuff, but this makes it less likely he is back.
Interesting. I actually think it's more likely because to me, this was the signal flare that we're just overpaying for stuff.
I could buy that, yeah.
And Bichette, whatever he gets is going to be an overpay because he is too injury prone and, to my way of thinking, not nearly as talented as people seem to think he is. So somebody's going to overpay for that. And this, to me, was like the flare going up that the Blue Jays are willing to overpay. So I actually think it makes it more likely. Mm-hmm. But we shall see.
You buy that, yep.
Let's move on to some NFL stuff. So Joe Burrow is back, and he looked really good. So Cincinnati, unfortunately, on the brink of elimination. Do they have any chance, now that they have Joe Burrow back, of sneaking in?
No.
Okay.
Yes, they do. You're only two games out of first place.
Your division is horrible. Yeah.
They're 3-1 in the division. So, yes, Cincinnati, there is a pulse.
Yeah, yeah, and the tiebreakers are interesting. So, I don't know. I hope so. It would be delightful. I hope it happens, but we shall see. Okay. We need to talk about the Lions. The injuries. I mean, is this a Dan Campbell issue? Do we finally have to have that discussion? Do we still trust Dan Campbell? Like, I mean, let's relate this to Thursday night where, I mean, like, Dallas looked pretty good. So they're kind of going in opposite directions here. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And Detroit, like, really looks like they might be in trouble.
Yeah, I don't think it's a Dan Campbell issue. I think they had a little bit one of the other coordinators leave. You've had a little roster turnover. I think this is more of taking a quick step back for a quick step forward if they do things right this offseason. I don't think it's necessarily a Dan Campbell thing.
Okay. Well, I hope you're right. Irby,
what do you think? Yeah, I do hope it's not. The Ben Johnson loss is hurting, but hopefully this isn't a Campbell thing. I think it's a hiccup. This team can beat anybody that shows up, and
Thursday's game's going to be fun to watch.
Be kind of interesting if after all this, like, you know, last year they were the favorites and they got booted early in the playoffs. Coming back from the brink and going on a run this year would just be very Dan Campbell-like, wouldn't it?
Oh, that would be interesting. Yes, and you're right. Very Dan Campbell-like. I kind of hope that happens. That would be fun. That would be fun, and it will really, really throw the Vegas people into a tizzy.
The anti-Tiger in Detroit.
Yeah, I like it. I like it. Let's go with that. All right, so I need to draw your attention to perhaps the funniest thing that has been said all season in the NFL, because, like, let's face it, in baseball, somebody says something funny every day. We almost never get things like this from the NFL, so we need to celebrate them when we do get them. And, Irvy, I know you have seen this quote, though I don't know if you have, but I'm going to read it for all of you. So this is Browns defensive tackle Shelby Harris talking about 49ers wide receiver Juwan Jennings. Quote, "He's a hoe, and I want that known. I see exactly why they punched him in the nuts. I'm surprised nobody punched him in the jaw yet." So I would just like to know, is this the funniest thing that's been said all season? And also, like, would you not, were you Jennings, insist that somebody immediately change your Wikipedia page to say known hoe? Because that is fantastic.
It's been a big week for hoes, hasn't it? Right, yeah, the Lane Kiffin dust up, and now this. I think, one, yes, he should absolutely have known hoe on every one of his social media websites. our social media accounts. He should definitely have that on there. And it is funny. And I don't know if it's... Is it because it's the NFL and we rarely get that funny that makes it even funnier?
What I'm wondering. I'm like, is this even baseball? Is this like the equivalent of athlete funny, right? Like, he's not really funny. He's just athlete funny. Are we saying, like, oh, yeah, if a baseball player said this, we would all go whatever, but, like, it's NFL funny? Is that true?
Yeah, I think so.
Might be. Mm-hmm. All right, Irby, thoughts?
Yes, this is the funniest thing this season. Such a contrast of the conversations with, you know, Garrett with Kittle and Garrett with Purdy, and then we get this Harrison Jennings thing. And
yeah, it's not perfect, wrong, right? All in the framework of a single game, we got that delightful exchange between Garrett and Kittle, which was just so cute and so funny. And you're like, oh, these guys are the best. I love them. And then you get these two posts and it was all the same game. Just excellent stuff. Absolutely excellent stuff. It's the only time I've laughed all season long, except for that game where when Brian Branch or Matt Branch, whatever it is, Matt Branch. I keep calling him Brian Branch. When the Detroit player went after the Kansas City player during the handshake period after the game and slapped him.
Yep.
These are the only two things that I've found amazing about the NFL this year. Let's talk about something.
Should he put known ho on his cleats?
Should put that on everything. Should probably have shirts printed up. You should sell shirts.
There you go.
It would be a little funny. Yeah. Known ho.
I'd buy one.
I would too. It's funny. I like it. All right. What are the Panthers? Just what is this? What is
this? Oh, gosh.
What is this? What on earth is happening here, guys?
I would really like to see the luck index for the Panthers, because they caught the Rams sleeping. I mean, let's be clear.
They caught a lot of people sleeping, though. That's the problem.
That's what I'm saying. Like, look at the teams that they've beaten this year. All of them close games, but all of them where every break went their way. You had some uncharacteristic play from a better team that allowed. I don't know. Are they charmed?
Do you think they're bad-biffing people?
I think they're just charmed, which is
upsetting. Weird. That is upsetting. I don't like that at all.
I don't either.
Irby, thoughts?
First of all, Carolina's fourth in the luck ratings.
I don't know if it would be higher.
Surprising. But no, this is weirdly not surprising. I mean, this is what happens when you have the schedule that you got from last year because of last year. So, sure. Now, did I see them a game of 500 minus 15 run?
And why are they beating good teams? Like, that's like, my issue is not the schedule. It's that when they do play good teams, they win. Like, this seems weird.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, bro. I think I'm with you.
They have a charmed loss to the Cardinals at the same time. Hilarious.
That's yeah.
Okay, so a lot of calls to fire Mike Tomlin. What do we think about this?
Oh, is this going to be every year now?
Yes, probably.
Okay, look. Like, okay, can we? All right. Is it really the coaching, or is it the fact that the roster has needed a full-fledged rebuild for years now and they keep kicking the can?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's okay, but then you have to ask yourself, is Tomlin driving the bus there? Like, can you take, like,
fair? Was,
okay, like, yeah, he was able to keep, like, a Ben Roethlisberger, who's, like, spotted by age was, like, 475, upright, and be relatively successful with that. So the solution since then was, well, we'll just get another, you know, ancient person and stick him back there and see what happens, and then that bleeds out into the rest of the team. Like, how much of that is coaching? You know, because if the coach is making the decisions there, then I got a problem.
Yeah.
If he's
yeah.
not, then I don't know how you put this on Tomlin when he's kind of keeping this thing upright. But we don't know.
Yeah, it's, it's crazy though. It's like they're. I know they got off to that hot start, which they were playing way over their heads.
Yeah, they're not good.
They're not good. But he's got the potential to still be a winning coach for what, the 21st straight year, 22nd straight year. Like it's.
Well, yeah, it's kind of hard to fire somebody.
It really is,
that, right? Like, especially considering like they might win that division, man, which is mostly because the division's bad.
But sure.
Still,
yeah.
I don't know. I mean, what do you think?
I absolutely hilarious. This whole situation is hilarious. It will remain hilarious as long as he's there. I'll just come back to the rest in a minute.
Okay. All right. All right. So a bit of nonsense before we quit. So, has anyone watched Holiday Touchdown, A Bill's Love Story?
Okay, this is the first time I've heard of it.
Is anyone willing to admit they watched Holiday Touchdown, A Bill's Love Story?
I have not seen or heard of this. Is it on Hallmark? Feels very Hallmarky.
I think so. I will. I also have not seen it and have no plans to see it. But I find it hilarious that it exists. So because apparently the plot of this is like the guy who is like the chief stadium operator or something and a Bills fan have fallen in love. I am unclear on what that has to do with Christmas, but
or the Bills.
Well, yeah, I mean, they do work at the Bills Stadium. By the way, these people really, from what I am understanding, do not understand what a director of stadium's operations does. But, you know, anyway, I don't know. I think I'm going to skip this one, but I do love that it exists because it is very funny to me. I mean, I can't believe they made a Chiefs one last year. I guess they're just going to keep doing this, but, you know, I don't know. Maybe they'll switch sports.
Yeah.
Irby, thoughts? Have you seen Touchdown, A Bill's Love Story? I'm sorry, Holiday Touchdown, A Bill's Love Story?
I have not seen the Bills or the Chiefs version. I'm waiting for the Browns version.
Oh, Lord.
It keeps getting worse.
Oh, man.
That's going to be terrible.
It would be, yeah. Sorry, that probably not a good... Maybe Holiday Touchdown, a Saint safety. Like, Holiday safety, maybe that's better.
Maybe switch sports. Like, maybe now that you've done Bills and Chiefs, maybe you try another sport.
No, it's got to be the Browns because how else you going to have your big climatic kiss scene with lake effect snow? Can't do that with baseball.
True. But the Browns, God. I don't know, guys. I don't know about this.
You can tie it into right. The whole stadium mess, right?
Sure. Build a dome in the suburbs and then try to tell me that you're not hurting the thing. Yeah, dummies. All right. Irby, you wanted to come back to Tomlin, I think. Bo, did you have anything you wanted to come back to?
I did not. But I am curious why Irby wants to come back to Tomlin. I feel like he's got some things too to say.
Yeah. Do you have some grievances you there?
I yield my time to Irby.
Yeah,
there you go.
Irby, take it away.
That's good because it's technically coming back to two segments with this. Pittsburgh, the Rodgers things we've laughed about and everything there, Tomlin, if you get rid of him now, it would be the biggest joke, everything that he's done for the team. He should have the opportunity to go out on his own when mm-hmm. he wants to, if he knows when he wants to. And I don't think this is it. This division's an unbelievable dumpster fire. Like this is a down Steelers team, and you're tied for first because Lamar Jackson can't get out of his own way.
Yeah.
So that's why. Going back to the other piece, hell yeah, the Bengals are still in this.
There's that too. I mean, so what happens? Because this is only going to get louder if the Bengals steal that division. Like, we didn't have our quarterback for like 10 weeks, but we stole the division from you. I mean, mostly this means you're all garbage. But
well, and Ravens and Steelers haven't played each other yet. They play this week. They're for the first time, and then the last week. So
I very likely, yeah, just that alone, Cincinnati's caught one of them. This is hilarious. Let's keep this up, and let's get one of these teams with a losing record into the postseason.
And one of them has to survive, which is terrifying, but one of them will be in the postseason. So if you care about good football, you better hope it's the Bengals, because that would mean that they were fine. They just needed their quarterback. And it's either the other two. I mean, it's a nice freebie, whoever gets to face them in the first round. But, oof. Okay. Anything else before we move on?
No. Nothing from me.
Nothing. All right. RB?
I'm good.
All right.
I'm turning it over to you.
Yeah. RB, you're up.
All right. Well, let's. I'm trying to decide what I want to do. Do we want to be serious or do we want to have fun? Let's have fun first.
Yeah, right? Let's have fun first. Yeah.
Sure. Okay. All right. Well, one thing I've enjoyed doing over the years, and I've done this with my family multiple times, and I know many of you have done this as well, is participate in a Mad Lib. It's been a while, right? And I'm saying this. Hopefully, Spotify doesn't age me a little bit more than I'm referencing Mad Libs and stuff. So. I don't know. Samantha and I were spitballing this the idea the other day, and I just put together a Mad Lib for you two tonight. And I'm optimistic. I hope this comes across. I will apologize if it doesn't, but I'm optimistic that it will. If you've never done a Mad Lib before, just real quick, I'm going to read specific things that I need from both of them. I've got 20 blanks, and they've got to fill out 10 each. And they have no idea. I have a story all written, and they're going to answer exactly what I tell them to say, and then I'll fill that into the story. And we'll read the story and have a good laugh. At least it's related to what we're doing these days. But that's the only hint y'all are going to get, is it is current events. Okay? No more hints.
All right. I'm ready. I'm
okay. Samantha, you want to start? You want to start?
Sure.
Okay. Give me a current college head coach.
It has to be current. Okay. Connor. Yes. All right. I'll go Marcus Freeman.
Oh,
Marcus Freeman. Oh, okay. Mr. Notre Dame himself. All right. Give me one second while I type that in. I have it all formula driven. Okay, cool. Now we're done.
Mad that I'm not allowed to say Gundy, obviously. So, you know.
It's formula driven. That scares me.
I'm not mad at you. I'm mad at them for firing.
Mad in that. Yeah, that's true. That would have been a wonderful one there.
All yeah. Right.
Bo, give me a college.
Tarleton State.
Tarleton State. Okay.
Nice.
Love that.
Swear to
right.
Hand to God, that was the first thing that hit my head. I don't know why.
That's good. Yeah.
No clue. Samantha,
a type of football play.
Statue of Liberty.
Ooh,
ooh.
Sent out the Statue of Liberty. Thank you for that.
Could we have used all the right. Annexation of Puerto Rico there?
You could have.
Okay, I'm just trying Bo, to get the ground rules here.
Yeah, Bo, I need a verb ending in ing.
Gaining.
You said gaining?
Gaining.
Gaining, okay. Samantha, have fun with this one. I just need some kind of funny phrase. Funny word, funny phrase, anything. It's the first thing that pops in your mind.
Wittershins.
Say that again? What?
Wittershins. It means counterclockwise. It's like an archaic term for counterclockwise. Wittershins.
Can we just start using that instead of counterclockwise? Because that's so much better.
Yes. I think we should.
Wittershins. All right.
No, Witter with a W. Wittershins.
Witter. Oh, sorry. Wittershins. All right. That's perfect. Bo,
mm-hmm.
A second college name. Can't be Tarleton State.
No. Don't worry. Cal. Let's go with Cal.
All right. Samantha, a celebrity.
Paris Hilton.
Wow. That's a... Okay.
Oh, good job. Bo, just something you do. What's something you do?
Oh, something I do. Can I make something up, or it has to be something I actually do?
Yeah.
All right. Sniping Nazis on video games.
That is okay. Sniping Nazis on video games. All right. Samantha, give me an emotion. Ooh.
Crankiness.
Ooh.
Crankiness.
Crankiness. All right. Bo, a plural noun.
A plural noun? Dinosaurs.
Yes.
There we go. All right. Samantha, an after-school activity or team?
Cricket.
Cool. All right. Bo, give me a location on a college campus.
The quad.
All right. Samantha, a number? Any number.
479.
479. All right. Bo, again, a plural noun.
A plural noun? Mm-hmm. Vampires.
All right. Samantha, I would like an animal from you.
Porcupine.
God, I hope that goes with vampires, because that would be hilarious.
Me too.
All right. Bo, name a state.
A state? Any state. Any state at all. Idaho.
Yep. Idaho. All right. Samantha, a position on a football team.
Long snapper.
Nice.
Bo, a living, keyword living, historical figure. I know that's weird.
That is a little odd, yeah. A living historical figure. None of them are fun.
Prince Charles. King Charles.
Oh, there we go. Yes. King Charles. Okay.
King Charles.
Yeah, I like that.
All right. King Charles.
I like that. Perfect. Thank you.
Samantha, a mode of transportation.
Snowshoeing?
All right. And Bo, blast a different emotion.
Primal rage.
All right.
Which was also a video game for my youth.
This is true. This is true. All right. You guys ready to hear your story? I'm going to try and read this.
I don't know.
Too much, and hopefully we can laugh at the end and everything.
I'm going to mute my mic while I listen to this.
I'm not.
All right. You guys ready for... From underdog to overpaid. Last Saturday, Marcus Freeman shocked the world when Notre Dame pulled off a huge playoff upset against Tarleton State, winning by a last-second Statue of Liberty. The victory was so unexpected that the fans started gaining in the streets and chanting, Buttershins! 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 Within hours, the athletic director at Cal called Paris Hilton for advice, because apparently hiring coaches is just like sniping Nazis on a video game.
That fits! It's awesome!
By Monday, Marcus Freeman was announced as the new head coach at Cal, leaving Notre Dame fans feeling crankiness and throwing dinosaurs at their TVs. The backlash got so out of control that Notre Dame cricket team staged a protest sitting in at the quad. I can actually see that happening.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, oh, that part actually made sense. Okay.
Yeah. Marcus Freeman's new contract was a staggering $479 million.
Wow.
Enough to buy vampires for every porcupine in the state of Idaho.
Yes.
Yes, that's a lot of vampires.
At the press conference, the AD boldly declared, "We hired Marcus Freeman to bring a new crop of long snappers and finally win a national championship." Because that's what you need.
Long snappers.
The press conference featured a surprise appearance by King Charles and ended with Paris Hilton riding off in her snowshoes. Meanwhile, Notre Dame issued a statement saying they plan to replace Freeman with someone to lead them forward who understands loyalty and primal rage.
My face hurts.
Well done, guys. That worked.
Thank you. That was better than I thought it was going to.
That was fantastic.
I'm in pain right now from trying to control my laughter. Well done. Thank you, Irby. That was delightful.
That was good. I did the Wittershins, I think, my favorite.
Watershed. So not where I thought that was going. Terrific. Also, like, as she, you know, as she is Googling how many porcupines are in the state of Idaho, because I want to know how many vampires are in the state of Idaho. Incredible. Yeah. Well done, Odie. Great job.
Well, it might take Tarleton State to make the playoffs for Notre Dame to get a win. And then, but all right. Well, cool. Well done. Well, please listen home. If you like that, let us know. I'd love to do more of those. I think that worked out well.
Yeah.
We have to do for other current events and stuff. So, all right. Well, continuing with the comedy, we had our fifth revealing of the college football playoff rankings yesterday.
Yeah.
Look, I'm gonna try and try as a keyword. Try as the keyword. I'm gonna try to do this as unbiased as I can, and I'll let you guys do the emotional responses and everything stuff. But I'm not gonna go through everything. I think we've all seen it or heard it, and you can look it up. But I'm sure we'll bring it up and everything. I think my biggest issues that have come from this, number one, I love that the term is like, we're trying to make this fair. It's like, okay, well, we're trying too hard to make this fair, and now we've gotten too fair. And we're sitting in a situation where two spots of the 12 are going to be reserved for, you ready for this list? Virginia, Duke, Tulane, North Texas, or James Madison. Very likely, two of those five teams are going to get in. What are we doing? What are we doing here?
I can't.
And truthfully, the least likely of those is Duke. If Duke wins the ACC championship game and doesn't move into the top 25, there is a real chance that the ACC will not have a team in the college football playoffs. Or even worse, they will. It'll be Miami, who wasn't even in the ACC championship game.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Before we come to championship games, and we can deal with that one, I want to also, the other one is Alabama.
Yeah.
Sitting, the jump from 10 to 9. What's the point, aside from pride, of them playing in this SEC title game? Because if they lose, there is a real chance that they drop out. So, I conference championships, you know, go to that one. The biggest thing I have with here before getting in, turning it over to you guys, and we can get into the weeds of this. The biggest issue is that it feels like the committee is prioritizing who did you lose to over who have you beaten.
Right.
You've gone to a point where it matters more of your losses, not your wins. And I understand the argument for that. And we can go through some of these teams. Texas is one of them. Has a black eye with a Florida on there.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't like the mindset of, why are we focusing on losses when we need to be focusing on who have you beaten? But I'll turn it over to y'all. Give me your thoughts. And again, trying to be unbiased here.
Yeah, I will also try to be unbiased. I mean, everybody knows who Irby and I support in this. And the thing is, Samantha, I feel like I can talk about Texas objectively and still wonder why the hell they're where they're at. Because you want to talk about Florida, Irby? Alabama lost to Florida State, who isn't much better than Florida. A Florida team that also did challenge some of the other teams in this playoff. I think Irby, you nailed it right on the head. They're focusing on who you lost to as opposed to who you beat. Because if you focus on who you beat, you got a team on the outside looking in right now that beat three top 10 teams this season. And you got teams in this playoff. We could talk about the Dukes and the Virginias and the James Madisons and whatnot till we're blue in the face, right? Like that's the format. I got no issues there, right? Except for, well, I have no issues because that's the format. The format should be changed, right? But some of these other teams that had cupcake schedules are being rewarded for their cupcake schedule. And Samantha, I think what's driving the vitriol more than anything is now we know the precedent's been set. And we're going to have really awful late August and September matchups now, because why would you schedule some of these high-profile games on your schedule? Why not just wait for your conference schedule to work it out for you? Or you can be like the Aggies and play the soft underbelly of the SEC. How do they get through the season only playing two ranked teams? That's crazy. You're in the SEC, you should have played more than two ranked teams all year long. One of them was out of conference. It's the precedent that's being set, I think, that angers most people that are talking up about this right now.
Well, here's the problem, and here's why everybody should be mad about this. Here's why I'm mad about this. You know, I don't have a dog in the fight. My team doesn't even have a coach. It appears that they will never have a coach. So, you know, this has all got nothing to do with me, right? But, like, the precedent being set, Bo, you are absolutely right, is bad. And the problem with it is it's not even just that they're focusing on the losses. It's that they're not paying any attention to the wins at all, right? You should be looking at both.
Yeah.
So if you're only looking at losses, then you get the Indiana situation. But the real problem here is with Texas. And I will go ahead and be the person who gets, like, uppity about this because, you know, I'm on the outside of this. Look, this is horse crap, okay? Like, I don't think you can even take the loss to Ohio State for Texas into consideration at all unless every other team that is currently ranked played another highly ranked team during the early part of the schedule from out of their conference and beat them. You can't punish somebody for taking up a challenge when everybody else was too chicken to do it.
Yeah.
Because like you said, it just sets the precedent. Uh-huh. And we can all say like, oh, okay, Texas is the sacrificial lamb. Like, yeah, bummer. It stinks for Texas. It's not fair. It's not right. But the bigger problem is like, oh, did you enjoy that game? Because I kind of did. You know? I mean, obviously I was rooting for Texas, but you know, like I like that.
It was still a good game.
It was a good game. Uh-huh. I think we saw what happens when the real elite teams actually have to play each other during the regular season. Well, guess what? You're never going to see that again.
That's right.
The only time you will see two elite teams play is when they have to, or because they're on the same side of their conference. I mean, even look at the imbalance within the bigger conferences, right? Like Big Ten West. Okay. Like,
yeah,
what a joke. Yeah. You know, it's ridiculous. And it's setting a horrible precedent. I hate it. It's,
you know,
I mean, I don't know. I hate it.
You had, I forget which media outlet had this, but they had a quote from one of the committee members about Texas. And what they said was that Texas isn't out because they lost to Ohio State. They're out because they lost to Florida. This is the same committee that put Notre Dame in last year when they lost to Northern Illinois at home.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's like you can't say – they can't say that that's why, because there are too many other instances that prove that that's not true. Look at Alabama. They put the Alabama thing back in there.
Right.
So you can't say it's because they lost to Florida, because you already set a precedent that that doesn't matter, that one bad loss doesn't matter. So – there is no precedent that, you know, you're just making it up as you go along.
You know what I think is painfully obvious, forgive me if this is out there and I haven't seen it, but I haven't seen this anywhere. It's pretty painfully obvious the committee wants a 16-team playoff, and this is their way of getting it. Because now what are people going to be doing? They're going to be like, oh, well, fine. Just if you're going to do it this way, then you got to have a field of 16 so teams like a Texas who belong in the playoff can get in while you still have your precious format.
And have a 16-team playoff, but don't pretend you have one before you do.
And that's like, and again, I am not against a 16-team playoff, but nuking the non-conference schedule to get there is pretty ballsy.
Yeah, I thought I was not against the 16-team playoff until I saw this season, and now I think I am against the 16-team playoff because we do not have 16 teams that can hang. We do not.
Yeah.
The fact that they can't pick the correct 12 is an issue, but, like, we do not have 16 teams that deserve to be in the playoff. Half the people in the playoff don't deserve to be there. Yeah. So, yeah, I think I'm falling.
That's a good point.
Well, and I on that. And to that, so if you're going to go, if we're going to continue this, this is where the conference championship issue I have, because of that list I read before. Virginia, Duke, Tulane, North Texas, James Madison. Zero of them deserve to be in this playoff. Zero. I am on board, and I understand the conversation of giving the 12th spot to one of those teams, because then it's the highest ranked of the, what is it, the G5. Fine, so be it. I understand why.
Mm-hmm.
But now we bring in the Virginia Duke conversation with the ACC, and I'm saying, no, no, no. The ACC is like, no, your highest ranked team's not even in there. Like, the change there needs to be the ACC is guaranteed one team. One team. And then we're sitting here looking at Miami at 12, Virginia down at 17, going, okay, well, if Virginia beats Duke, then they earn that guaranteed spot in. I'm okay with that. Duke? An 8-5 Duke team in this? Come on. I mean, because all we've done now, and we saw this last year, which was fixed, when we had, was it Boise State, was it getting a bye, and then they get beat up. We get that fixed here of it's going to be the best four teams instead of, because last year in the situation, Virginia could beat Duke, and then they would actually get a bye, and that would be a whole kinds of issue, but what's going to happen now is if Duke wins, and then let's say North Texas upsets Tulane, and Duke and North Texas are in there. Suddenly, you're feeling great sitting at the 5 and the 6. Oregon and Ole Miss, you're sitting there going, hell yeah, we get to host these guys? Yeah, we're going to have our backup playing in the second half.
Yeah, just like, you know, an August non-conference game. Mm-hmm.
You know what I think should happen?
What's that?
I have thoughts. So I think if you get into a situation like this where neither of the teams in your conference championship is ranked and seated for a playoff spot at the time of that conference championship game, then what should happen is your conference should come together and take a vote, and every team in that conference gets one vote, and you vote for who is going to represent your conference.
Yeah, yeah.
Problem solved, right? Like, you want to send the 100%. Idiot who won your conference championship there when they don't deserve it, then that's your funeral. Or you could choose to somebody who appears to be a better team. You could do that. I think that's like, okay, if we're going to say we're guaranteeing you a spot, and we throw it back to you and say, you choose. And then we get out of this situation where these goofball things like this happen, where the only team that looks even remotely viable isn't even part of this game. Like, I mean, yeah. are we going to have two of them in there? Like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Miami is going to miss the playoffs, and we're going to have to watch.
Yeah. See, this is Oregon. Insane. That's insane.
And there's the. Are you watching that game?
No.
I mean, I wouldn't watch it if it was Miami either. But no.
But that. I mean, nobody's still out watching that game. I might be paying attention on my phone, be like, nope, yep, it is a blowout. Like, and again, I'm going to go back to having lived through the BCS days. I know we're trying, but the committee can't even give a straight answer when talking about who's set. They left the door open for Miami and Texas to slip back in, even though they're not playing.
They did.
They left the door open that if Ohio State and Georgia both win their SEC and Big Ten championship games, Texas could move up in. That just like what? No, no, no. Now we're sitting there like now it's we're back to a formula. What's the formula? Let everybody know the formula so that we have a better idea throughout the year. All right.
That's really that was a question I wanted to ask you guys, because you look at those conference championships. Alabama losing to Georgia. That's one that feels pretty like odds on going to happen unless Georgia just doesn't play. Right, Georgia.
Alabama
beat them, Georgia. I understand that. But of all the games out there that are left to be played, that is one where the odds are against a team that if they lose, well, then you've got another three-loss team going up matching against Texas's three losses, a very similar black eye. Do you put Texas in at that point? Or did neither one of them make it? And you put somebody else in.
Well, because then they're going to flip it and go, Alabama Alabama lost to Oklahoma, Texas beat Oklahoma. That's guaranteed that's what they're going to say.
Yeah. I don't hate that. I mean, I hate the whole thing, don't get me wrong, but I hate that a lot less than, you know, the other option.
Yeah, yeah, I don't hate
it's
either.
It's more fair than the alternative.
You know what's bad, though? You know what's really bad is I saw this making the rounds on social media after those rankings were announced. People were clamoring for the BCS to come back. That's how bad this is.
Okay, new idea. What if we let the BCS computer pick the playoff teams?
I bet it does a better job than this year.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's like, I'm not actually suggesting that we do this. Because, like, you know, I mean, well, first of all,
Notre Dame would probably be number one.
It's going to murder us someday. But, like, yeah, and also Notre Dame will be number one.
Right.
BYU would be two.
Yeah.
But I would be interested to see that because I bet it would look better than what we're seeing right now because that's how bad this is.
Can we also just put it out there? Like, we're dogging on some of these conferences like, you know, these conference teams like North Texas and James Madison. Are we really saying that the Big 12 with BYU and Texas Tech is actually legitimate either? I mean, let's be honest about this. It's not. It's really not.
I will go back to what I said the last time we discussed this, which is that I could give you six teams in both the Big 10 and the SEC who would easily beat both of them.
Yeah.
So, no. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Texas Tech at four? Are you kidding me?
No, that is like...
What happens if BYU beats them? Does BYU become four? And Tech comes out? Like, what is this?
No, this is the ultimate failing upwards, right? Like, it's like, okay, so if you just stand there and don't screw up, like, you know, it's like when, you know, the highly successful business person has, like, a screw-up son, you know? So they give him the job that's like, hey, sit at this desk and sharpen these pencils. And he successfully sharpens the pencils. So then they promote him anyway, and this is what happens.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, and there's the another downside of our two big conferences where you get a situation like Texas A&M. Texas A&M has played one game in conference against a team with a winning record in conference. They lost that game. All their other games were against conference teams with losing records within the conference. They played the bottom of the barrel. They played one good team. They lost. Who's going to be shocked if their first playoff game they get beat again?
It's the same problem as Indiana.
Yep. Yes.
Yeah.
You didn't play anybody.
Yep. So who knows? Who knows?
I will. You know what? I will say this. And again, I'm not gonna go crazy and do a Gundy rant here. But I will say this, and this is talking to all of you out there that are listening right now that are defending this. Defending a team like a Texas being out, come next August, when Texas cancels their game with Ohio State, and all the other games they have lined up, Michigan, was it Notre Dame, Irby, they got two with Notre Dame coming up. When they start canceling these, and you start bellyaching about it, I'm not going to have the stomach for it, and I'm going to call you out every time I hear it.
Well, and so...
Because this is the result.
Sark's already come out and said he is going to honor... Texas will honor the Ohio State and the Michigan... I'm sure
they shouldn't.
I agree.
They shouldn't. I'm sure that Del Conte said, here's the amount of money we make because both those games are home games.
That's fair. I'll give him that. That's fair. That is a fair argument to make.
But he left that open.
Playoff games.
Also true.
But he left it open of outside of the Ohio State next season and the Michigan in 27. We are reevaluating everything, which essentially means those Notre Dame games. Like, there's no point doing that because now
the ones you probably didn't need to worry about, but okay.
True. Because we've gotten now to the point, the SEC and the Big Ten, you have, and Samantha, take a bow because you said at the beginning of the year, those two conferences, it makes zero sense to play any out-of-conference good teams at the beginning of the year. It adds nothing.
Yeah.
All it does is to subtract. I hear... The conversation about Texas with the Florida. Yes, that is a black eye.
Mm-hmm.
But today, week one, if the Horns didn't play Ohio State and they played Akron Tech for the Blind, and they're sitting at 10-2, they're not at 13. They're sitting at 8. They're sitting at 7.
Yeah.
That's what I've been saying all season long. Like, you're going to, like, don't do this. This was a good lesson. And, like, don't do this. Like, I know, as fans, it's a bummer, right? But, like, the smart play, which we said as soon as that game happened, is like, this is why you don't do this. Like, this is going to cost you later. It can only hurt you. It can't help you. It can only hurt you. Ohio State can't be number 1-1-1+ because they beat Texas.
We're a super one. What does that mean? I don't know.
The way the rest of the year went, they sure look like one plus. They sure did.
That is fair because everyone else is so bad. But I'm just saying, it can only hurt you. Kids, don't play out of conference games against competitive teams. Don't do it.
Well, but there's the thing is what we are seeing is if you're a Big 12 team, an ACC team, you need to do that. The SEC and the Big Ten teams are going to be like, we ain't playing you. You
too bad. Then you can go play against Carleton College or whatever that place you said was.
But Tarleton State.
Sure they're not in your conference. But why don't you play against an FBS team? Do whatever you want. I don't care. Play each other. I don't want anything to do with it. No.
The other one I would love to see, and this is maybe where I'm going to vote chaos, because we all love chaos. So go ahead, dude. Get it done. Let's blow this up. And let's Duke win, not get ranked. The winner of North Texas Tulane is going to get in. James Madison's going to win, beat Troy. They're going to get in. We're going to have those two teams in there, and Notre Dame's going to get kicked out because Notre Dame absolutely deserves to be out. You have the stupidest, easiest thing in the entire world. You play,
but they're still better than James Madison.
I know. I get that, but if we're going
to... No. I want to keep the good argument intact and not use this for vengeance against people you're mad at for whatever reason. No, the best 12 teams should be there. Like, is Notre Dame one of the best 12 teams? Like, probably not, but they're sure as hell better than James Madison.
Yeah.
So, like, we're not airing past grievances to fix this.
I think right now, like you gotta pick which one do you want. If you want a true playoff, then you've got to have all the conferences in play, and you have a few wild cards, and then you pick it. Or you can do what is rational in the college football landscape, which is what you're talking about, Samantha, and just picking the 12 teams that are the best teams in the country and let them go play football.
Which is what we should be doing,
right?
Because that's the whole point of it, right? It's supposed to be the 12 best teams. Like, what's with all the fairness stuff? They're not five,
right?
They're college football teams.
Participation trophies.
Pee-wee participation trophy. Yes. Everybody gets to go so that they can get their ass kicked by somebody bigger than they are. That's not what we're doing here, pal.
Yeah,
like these are huge, huge money making machines. Like, no, the players are adults. Like, I want to see the 12 best teams. I don't care where it came from. Like, I'm not saying they're going to get it right in terms of who those 12 teams are every time. But I would prefer that they at least try to do that rather than this, like, little halvesy thing we're doing here where it's like half of them are going to be good teams and half of them are going to be, here's a ribbon for your shitty conference teams. No, I don't want to do this. It's stupid.
Well, and it's
the hybrid playoff.
We love that conversation during college basketball, but basketball is a different sport. You can do that. You can have those teams that are.
It's a field of 64.
Exactly. You can do anything you want. If you are number one and you lose to a 16 in the first round, that is 100% on you.
Yes.
Looking at you, Virginia. Looking at you.
Oh, UMBC, we miss you.
Go, characters. They would have done fine here, but yeah,
you know what?
You
know what would be entertaining if they want to do this? Put Appalachian State in there, just let them wreck shop. That would be funny. The king of the upset in the college football playoff. Watch it be maybe Ohio State.
Pick whoever wins the FCS title and give them the last spot.
Hey, there we go.
I would take that over James Madison any day.
At least it would be funny.
Yeah.
Well, he lost by 40. Yes. Life's not fair. And that's
bring on Dartmouth.
Issue. We've tried too hard to make it. When we need it to be fair, it's never going to be fair. It's not. It's impossible to be fair.
Yeah.
And who told you in life when you were little that life would be fair? No. Somebody pointed out.
Yeah, but the idea...
We don't need it to be fair. We need it to be competitive. Yeah.
The idea that you're going to have a Miami and a Texas out while a James Madison and Duke get in, or even North Texas, really?
This is the height of insanity.
North Texas in this playoff? I mean, you're shitting me on this. Like, it's absurd.
Texas going to Ole Miss?
Yeah, and they're going to get destroyed in the first round. Everybody's going to be bored. And then we're going to hear about, this poor little, still FBS, still could technically do the same thing. Team just didn't. Poor them. They lost 70-11. And then somebody's going to cry about that. Like, I don't need this. Nobody needs this.
Yeah.
Nope. So, enjoy conference week this week.
I mean, at this point, I want Georgia to beat Alabama. I mean, I usually do anyway, the fan in me. But I want to see the chaos. I want to see this committee. I know what they're going to do. I want to hear them explain it. Right? I want to hear why you did it.
You want the committee that made a big deal about Vanderbilt going to Auburn, even though Auburn played at Vanderbilt this year. You want those guys explaining. They make it very obvious they don't watch all the games. They watch more games than the AP poll.
Yeah. Yeah, I want to hear the farce of an explanation that they're going to have for me. I want to hear it.
The one I want to hear, and this is not even the Longhorn fan of me saying, Ohio State win, Georgia win, Tech win. Let those three win their conference games and show me a 13 Texas jump all the way back into this thing. And I would love to hear that explanation of, like, wait, what? What? Whatever. Mm-hmm. It would be hilarious. The Longhorn fan of me obviously wants that. But the chaos when they're like,
yeah,
this is ridiculous if y'all, but whatever, I can see it happening, and that's great. Whatever. That's enough. That's enough. See, we should have done this and then had the laugh after. Whatever. Bo, make us laugh.
I've got some laughs coming up. Come on.
Good.
We're going to start off with the ultimate in hilarity, the NFL bubble teams. Woohoo!
Did we already talk about the AMC North?
Kind of. All right. We're going to start with the AFC. Right now, and I went in order of outside looking in, and I only left those in with a chance at the playoffs, okay? Texans, 7-5. Smith, they got a little momentum. Can they get back in?
Maybe. Schedule-wise, maybe. Do I think they deserve to go? No. But, at least we have a system in place.
Here. Oh, what, right. Imagine that. We have
a system in place that ensures that people do not get to go.
Crazy talk.
Craziness.
I know. Nuts. But, yeah, I think I'm a no on this.
Yep. Okay, Irby, how about you?
I need to hold yes for a while just because they play the Chiefs this week. So go ahead and beat the Chiefs.
Drop them down. Well, I mean, I hope that's what happens. I just don't think it's going to.
All right. Well, now we're really going to have some fun because we have 2-6-6 teams. The Steelers and those Chiefs. Oof. I'm not even going to ask you which one of the two you think has the best shot because I already know the answer to that. I guess the question I have here, Chiefs at 6-6, even if they win out, is that enough?
Probably.
You think so? You think it is?
I mean, look, nothing would make me happier than for them to miss it. I mean, because, like, I don't care if the Steelers go or not. Like, whatever, that's fine. But nothing would be funnier to me, like, ever, than the Chiefs missing the postseason here. So, like, that is what I want to happen, but I don't think so. I mean, we have pretty good precedent for a team that looked like this, squeaked in, and then did very well in the postseason, which is utterly terrifying if you're not a fan of, like, Mahomes and the, nursing home around him.
Mm-hmm.
And so, don't love it. I hope they're out, honestly, but I don't think they're going to be. And I don't know that I think they need to win out either. So,
all right. All right, Irby, any thoughts there?
Because both are sitting two games out, I don't see it happening. I think the Steelers have a better chance just because of the division. Kansas City, good news. Yeah, you still have games against the Raiders and the Titans. So let's go ahead and make them 8-6. But still, that's a hill to climb. Three and four in conference play and two games out right now. That's a heck of a hill. You need help ahead of you.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Anything else on this one, Samantha, before we go to the NFC?
No, they're going to make it because the football gods hate me. So.
Yeah.
All right. Currently at 8, a game behind Irby's 49ers, who are sitting at 7. The Lions are 7-5, facing off this week, tomorrow night, actually tonight, if you're listening to this broadcast. 7-5 Lions, 6-5-1 Cowboys. Obviously, the winner is going to take over that 8th spot. What are you thinking here on the between these two, Samantha?
I got to believe they both make it.
Really?
I have to. Ooh. Yeah. I mean, for the Lions scenario that you posed earlier was too good to give up. And Dallas, I think, is going to find a way. I think Dallas is better than people think. So I think it's somebody else who's the casualty here. I don't think either of these teams is getting shut out.
Wow.
That's interesting. That's interesting. I'm trying to see. Okay, who are they? Okay, Seahawks have a two-game lead on the Lions right now.
Mm-hmm.
Packers have a game and a half. 49ers have...
Well, the Cowboys won is division.
Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah. Dallas is like, yeah, I Dallas don't think the division is at all out of reach there, which is why I think I can say both of them.
I see what you're saying.
Dallas can go in and move up in that division.
Yeah.
That's where your casualty comes from. So,
yeah.
Although I don't know. I got to tell you, I don't have a lot of faith in Seattle, but a two-game lead is pretty daunting at this point.
Yeah, at this point, at this point, it's like what, 8 in baseball?
it's like we're at what, like 10 games out at the end of. Oh wait, but you know who did that this year? My team. See, dream big, kids. You can do it. Look what the Guardians did to the Tigers this year because they weren't paying attention.
For those listening at home, that's what we call in sports broadcasting the broadcasting alley-oop. Tossed it right there for you.
Swish.
Okay, I have to mention them because they're right there and they keep beating good teams. Panthers is 7-6. What do you think?
No, I don't need any more information. I don't want any more information. No, this is a travesty. It can't be allowed to happen. No, we'll not allow it. I'm a little bit worried about the Eldridge business that you were suggesting earlier because, like, I can't do anything about that. Nobody can.
Right? No, yeah, but, yeah.
You know, like, yeah. I don't know. You have to go get a really good warlock, I guess, or witch, you know, to undo that. But, like, honestly.
Hey, it worked in baseball. It worked in the baseball playoffs.
It did.
For a little while.
I didn't care that Seattle was doing it, and I don't like this. So, I don't like this.
All right, Irby, how about you?
I'm going to go down. I've got all three of those that you said out. Lions, Cowboys, Panthers out. I think the Eagles figure it out. I don't have much confidence in saying that as it comes out of my mouth. And Carolina, although Carolina has two games left with Tampa, two of their four remaining games are against Tampa. So winning that division is not outside the realm of possibility.
Why are you doing this to me?
It's because it's chaos. And this is a conference. You know who's the one seed right now? Chicago.
Yes.
Caleb Williams, Chicago Bears are the one seed right now. What?
Have you looked into, like, the stats on that team? Like, it's really ugly. Like, they have been so lucky. Like, this wow.
They have one of the lowest strength of schedules in the sport.
Yeah. Yeah.
The only one lower is the Patriots. The other one seed.
Well.
Okay, but like, who do you like in a fight, right? The Patriots or the Bears? Like that, I don't even have to think about that. Right?
We got the 85 Super Bowl lining up for us again. 40 years later. Why not?
Oh, boy.
I think we'll
probably win that one.
I tell you what, I do think when it comes to the AFC East got to talk about the Eagles and the Eagles dropping. This week we'll know for sure. They're playing the Chargers. If they beat the Chargers, they have the Raiders and the Commanders after that. They're not losing what Dallas needs them to lose for Dallas to get there. So
I don't know if I agree because I don't trust the Chargers.
I don't trust any of the Commanders are the only one I trust on the Eagles schedule for the
Chargers
rest of the way.
Chargers will beat the Eagles and then lose to the Chiefs. That's what's going to happen.
Yeah, probably.
It's fair. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The Eagles are fine as long as someone just reminds them that they still have Saquon Barkley. I feel like they
seem to have forgotten that. I don't know. We'll see. If the Chargers get the Eagles, then it really doesn't matter what happens when they play the Raiders because the Commanders can easily get them. That game is in D.C. in a couple of weeks.
Daniels will be back by then.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Well, wait a minute. Hang on. Now that I'll put up the full schedule, they get the Commanders two of the last three games, and they have to face Buffalo week 17.
Stop saying Commanders. It's football team.
Fair enough. Fair enough. But there's a couple of losses in there for the Eagles, I think.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's why I said both of them can go.
Hey, you know what? Yeah. I'm buying it. I'm buying what you're dropping down. And what's really sad, guys, I got to tell you, what's really sad, and I'm struggling with this. I'm struggling so much with this because I can't. God help me, I'm starting to buy these Cowboys. And I
think they're not bad.
That five-man front is something.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah, I think they're legit.
You saying Jerry made a good trade? What?
You know, and
I still
you
know
what?
On that, but yeah.
I still think I still I don't know. You know, the thing is, I'm going to eat a little crow here. Not a full bowl of crow, but I'll have a little like saucer plate of crow on this one. He does seem to have swapped out Micah Parsons for Quinnen Williams, and the rest of the defense in this system is better for it. There are other systems, I think, where Micah Parsons would be the better piece. But right now, this is working.
You know what I think? I think they get elected. I think he made a very, very stupid move, and then he tried to patch it with another stupid move.
Uh-huh.
And he got lucky because it worked out okay.
Yeah.
So, zero credit, no crow, you got lucky. Jerry's insane. God bless him. I love you, Jerry. I hope you live forever. I think you're delightful.
He is quite crazy. All right.
So on your Dallas thing, the this week I think is the big one. Tomorrow's game is huge.
It is.
Dallas has two road wins.
Yeah.
His road wins are the Raiders and the Jets.
Yeah.
Dallas can't win on the road. This one's in Detroit. So if you can win this one, the schedule opens up well, and they've got a decent shot of winning that division.
Yeah, I think so. I do agree with that. This could all come crashing down tomorrow night.
Mm-hmm. They lose by 40. Like, wow, we were sitting here like,
well, that was that.
Expectations they have no chance.
Wouldn't it be funny if that happened though? Because then you could say, "Oh yeah, they beat last year's Super Bowl combatants within 4 days." Oh, right. The NFL sucks. That's why. Oh, boy. Okay. Samantha, anything else on the NFC before we get into a little recasting?
No.
No? All right. Well, we're going to start tonight. Well, this week. We're going to recast Christmas movies throughout December. And I get to lead off, which is always kind of cool. I get to be either the guinea pig or the pace setter. So, all right, tonight we're going to recast the Muppet Christmas Carol. Are you guys ready for this? Not the Disney Christmas Carol, not the Dickens Christmas. No, this is the Muppet Christmas Carol. There are characters in this film that are not in the book or any other rendition of Christmas Carol.
Excuse me, I must interject. It is the most accurate and contains the most original language of any adaptation of Dickens' Christmas Carol. It is the most book accurate.
Is it really? I did not know that.
It is. Has the most. Mm-hmm.
Oh. Yep. Okay. Well, I had some fun.
To the point that I fully believe that Gonzo and Rizzo the Rat were friends with Charles Dickens.
I mean, it, watching it, it doesn't feel like that big of a leap. It really doesn't.
All right.
But all right, but so tell them, well, who are we, how are we recasting this? Tell people how are we
recasting. I am recasting this with MLB personalities, not just players. There's a coach in here.
All right.
Now, the vast majority, I would say 98-ish%, the vast majority are current players. However, there were two characters in here that fit certain previous MLB guys. Okay? And I did cast a baseball player for Emily Cratchit. I'll explain that in a minute. I did not go for a player wife. I thought about it. No. That didn't feel right. So, are you guys ready? Any other questions? Okay. All right. Let's start with the narrators. The narrators for the Muppet Christmas Carol were the Great Gonzo and Rizzo the Rat. Your primary narrator, the Great Gonzo, I gave to Josh Naylor.
Got the hair for it.
Love it. Got the hair, would wear the weird outfit.
Absolutely, mm-hmm. Yes. And the co-narrator, Rizzo the Rat, I gave to Juan Soto because he plays in Queens. Seemed to fit.
Hmm. How does Queens factor into a Christmas Carol exactly?
I have no idea. I just felt like saying that. Rats and Queens. All right, any issues there? Now, I will open the floor. After I'm through my recasting, you guys can put in anyone you feel like would be a better cast member. Or if for some reason I missed an entire character that you wanted to cast, we're going to do that at the end.
Sure.
Okay? All right. Okay. Ebenezer Scrooge was played by Michael Caine, one of my absolute favorite actors. And is there a bigger Ebenezer Scrooge in baseball right now than John Fisher? I'll wait.
Somebody is going to have to tell him that. Well, actually, no, we better not tell him. But really, this is not a good reflection on him. But do you think that guy read Christmas Carol and got it? I don't think so. I can just feel like, look, you're going to be in a movie, and he's really awesome.
I think that's my only issue is Ebenezer Scrooge, his soul was salvageable. I don't know if John Fisher's soul was salvageable.
I thought about that. I did.
That is fair. That is fair.
Yeah, I thought about that. I did.
Good point.
It's a good point. You feel free to recast towards the end. Okay. This one was one of my favorites. In fact, these next two are my... This one's one of my favorites. Charity Collectors, played by Dr. Bunsen Honeydew and Beaker in The Muppet Christmas Carol. I gave that... Are you ready? You ready? Shohei Ohtani and Freddie Freeman.
I wanted teammates,
and that felt right. Shohei Ohtani is Dr. Bunsen Honeydew.
But why? Why are they those specific characters, though? If they're charity collectors, like, shouldn't they be?
Well, that was part of the fun, is the Dodgers are... The most prolific most prolific spinners in baseball. That was also part of the fun. But I also thought these two fit Dr. Bunsen Honeydew and Beaker.
Okay.
Moving on. Again, recasting. We're recasting the movie. We could definitely do some adjustments here towards the end. Okay. The Fozziwigs. We had Fozziwig, which was played by Fozzie Bear. And the Fozziwig party entertainer was Animal, right? So I gave Fozzie Bear to Kyle Schwarber. And Animal, Max Scherzer.
Yeah, no, that makes sense to me.
Yep. Okay. All right. The Schoolmaster was played by Sam Eagle. This is why one of my legacy picks. I went back to previous baseball seasons and grabbed one, Madison Bumgarner.
It'd be so bad. I like it, though. I like it. I like that.
Urban, any thoughts there?
No, I'd which Madison Bumgarner though?
Both.
Okay.
All right. George the Janitor, who played himself in the Muppet Christmas character. Another legacy pick, although I hate using the word legacy with this guy. Former manager of the Toronto Blue Jays, John Gibbons. For the cranky George the Janitor. Any thoughts there?
He's pretty cranky. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't disagree with that.
Okay. My second set of teammates for the Marley brothers, Jacob and Robert Marley. Jacob Marley was played by Statler, and Robert Morley was played by Waldorf. I went with Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton.
You cannot pick two people who have no sense of humor whatsoever to be Statler and Waldorf.
I don't know. I think I can.
But why would you want to? They don't meet either the Dickens character or the Muppet criteria.
But they're old.
I've got a quick pivot on that one.
Okay.
Let me wait till the end.
Let me get through mine. Okay. And then we will open the floor for alternatives. Okay, this is where it got fun. The Cratchits. This one I had some trouble and I went through some stuff. Bob Cratchit, played by Kermit the Frog. I'm giving to Mookie Betts. Emily Cratchit, played by Miss Piggy. I'm giving this to a player who, one, would actually play the Miss Piggy character if we were doing this, and could actually pull it off, and that is one Austin Hedges.
Yeah.
Tiny Tim Cratchit, played by Robin the Frog. I'm giving to Byron Buxton, who also goes through moments of poor health.
Because his legs are falling off.
Yeah.
That actually makes a ton of sense to me.
All right. And last but certainly not least, the ghosts of Christmas past, present, and future. The ghost of Christmas past, I think quite literally looks like Nick Allen. Like, you look at a picture of the two, it's pretty close.
I'm sorry, who's Nick Allen?
Nick Allen was the guy the Braves just traded to the Astros. The one that looks like a kid. He's like 2 feet tall.
I don't even know who that is.
The ghost of Christmas present. I gave to Bryce Harper. Similar beards. Of course, the Muppet was full hair. But you can see it. I can see it anyway. Bryce Harper. The ghost of Christmas future had no face. He was soulless. That is, of course, Rob Manfred.
That's no face. But let's hope not. Let's hope he's not our future guy. Oh, man.
The future can't be rewritten.
That is bleak, man. That's like an alternate ending to this that I do not care for at all. Oh man, this is going to be Rob Manfred and the Robot Ops.
Okay. All right. Now I'm going to open the floor. Any characters you would like to recast? Or if there's a character I missed, because there was a couple of Muppets in there that I did not use. So if there's one you want to add, or you want one you would like to recast yourself, I'm all ears. Samantha, you're up first.
Okay, so the Charity Collectors, I think, should be played collectively by the Pirates.
Nice.
And the Rays, because they just take everybody's money.
It's fair. It's fair enough.
And I think that Rizzo needs to be played by someone who is funny. So who has... We need somebody from MLB who has a slightly British sense of humor as the narrator. So I'm thinking...
Joe Kelly was one of my alternates.
Joe Kelly would have been a great pick for Rizzo. I mean, I don't think he's having a generally British sense of humor, but he does embody Rizzo to me, so I would accept that. So maybe we'll just go with that. Mm-hmm. So, and then Irby... Those are the only notes I have. The rest of them I think are really good. And Irby, you were going to address the...
Marley and Marley.
The Marleys?
Right?
Yeah. No explanation, but when you said Marley and Marley, these two names popped in my head, and that would be Baby Vlad and Ernie Clement.
Oh, that's perfect. That is
there. Exactly it is
what that means.
There it is. Okay.
That is perfect. Oh, and one other addition, and I don't know how you work this in because I'm like running short of like actual Christmas Carol characters, but like we need to work Pepe the Shrimp into this.
Hmm.
Because Pepe is the best. So we need to get Pepe the Shrimp in there somewhere. And then, I mean, I don't know, who is Pepe's Major League Baseball equivalent? Actually, it might be David Ortiz. I mean, they do differ in size, but that would just make it funnier.
That's not bad. The
personality, but yeah.
Yeah, I could see that.
Anyway, those are my only notes.
I could see David Ortiz there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, okay. Yeah, I have no further notes. Love it. Let's make this movie.
Irby, how about you? Anything besides the Marleys?
No. The rest, I'm good. That's good.
That was fun. And now I need to go watch the Muppet Christmas Carol for like the fourth time this week. Because now I want to watch it again.
And now I'm going to picture Austin Hedges as Miss Piggy forever.
You are welcome. Yes. Yes. Delightful. Yes.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I didn't like the path I was going down with the player-wise because it was either going to be Kate Upton or Libby Dunn. And that just didn't fit in any way, shape, or form. Austin Hedges fit.
One of them, but I don't want to be mean, even though I've kind of said it.
You kind of said it. Between the two, I think everyone knows who you're referring to. Yeah. Oh,
well, I'll be here waiting my cancellation. Merry Christmas, everyone.
All right. Anything else before we call it a week? Irby, anything you want to add here?
No, this was good. Thank you. Watch Stranger Things. Good for you. Sorry, I'm taking a line there at the
end. No, it's good fine. It's fine.
Good for you.
It's fine. Stranger Things is going to get me through the next week and a half with these college football playoff rankings. That's what's going to happen. All right. Well, wherever you're listening to Lollygagging Sports, give us a like. Subscribe to the show. Help us out with that algorithm so we get some more lollygaggers in here. But for this week, we're done. We're out of here. Until next week. I honestly don't know what to tell you to watch because the NFL's kind of garbage and the college football playoff rankings are complete garbage. So watch Stranger Things. It's good for you.